Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And of course, we do live in an anything but Christian moment, sometimes been called an ABC, an anything but Christian moment. It is a moment in human history in which we are not only being attacked in the West by illiberal liberalism, but we are also being invaded, as it were, by militant Islam. And the demographics alone are alarming. But perhaps there's an even greater problem, and that is the problem of a church ill-equipped, ill-prepared. Perhaps a church that is gorging on empty calorie diets. A church that is no longer a leavening force within the culture. And if there was ever a time in which the church needed to stand up and be counted, it is now. And let me give you just a little anecdote. In Wednesday's paper, there was an article, USA Today. It was titled, "McGregor, Master of Beating Odds." Well, of course, this was about the Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight, which took place on Saturday. And Conor McGregor talked about the law of attraction in this article. He said it was the most powerful thing in the world. The belief that you are able to create whatever situation that you want for yourself, and no one can take it away from you. It is believing something is already yours. McGregor went on to say, if you can see it here and you have the courage to speak it, it will happen. You are creating the law of attraction. It will become reality. Vocalizing desires makes them real. And McGregor predicted, as a result of the law of attraction, that he would win in just two rounds. Of course, he lost in the 10th round. Now, that anecdote is interesting to me for this reason. It does not just come out of midair. It comes from a book that was a mega bestseller called Rhonda Byrne's The Secret. She told the world that she had discovered the secret to life. And boy, did the world take notice. Oprah at the top of the list. So what was the secret? The secret was the law of attraction. And Rhonda Byrne got the law of attraction from the New Testament. She says, quite easy. The New Testament gives it to us in three simple steps. Ask, believe, receive. And then she goes on to point to herself as the principal example. In order to transform herself from fat to thin, well, she had a method. She thought thin thoughts. In fact, she said she did not so much as look at fat people. Because if you see people who are overweight and observe them, that is going to be a negative consequence. So she says, as a result of The Secret, I now maintain my perfect weight of 116, and I can eat whatever I want. In other words, for her, the error was to think that food is responsible for weight gain. Now, at first blush, that kind of rhetoric may seem merely silly. But there's a clear and present danger in the reasoning. Just as her followers must avoid fat people for fear of becoming fat as well, they must avoid cancer victims for fear of contracting cancer, or for that matter, poor people for fear of becoming poor. In other words, you have to avoid the very people that Jesus exhorts us to care for. Don't even look at them, according to Rhonda Byrne. And what I found to be remarkable about Byrne is that she is remarkably open with respect to the secret's dark underbelly. So she points out events in history where masses have been lost. Why, again, the law of attraction. They attracted horror to themselves. Thoughts of fear can attract them to being in the wrong place at the wrong time. We are attracting everything to ourselves, and there is no exception. So on the one hand, thin thoughts produce thin bodies. On the other, 6 million Jews brought the horror of the Holocaust upon themselves. Or think Houston. In Houston, there are millions of people attracting 57 trillion liters of floodwater to fall on Houston because they're thinking negative thoughts. At least that's the logical extension of her view. Again, for Rhonda Byrne, the genie is the law of attraction. But look, this has metastasized because it is not just being taught in the world under a quasi-Christian framework. It's being taught overtly in the church. In Houston, you have Joel Osteen. He's explaining you have to begin speaking words of faith over your life. Your words have enormous creative power. The moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. It's a spiritual principle. It works whether what you're saying is good or bad, positive or negative. So when Osteen describes the genocide of nearly 1 million Rwandans, the implications are never far from the surface. Wherever and whenever tragedy strikes, words are at the center of the narrative. Think about it, exhorts Osteen. Your words go out of your mouth, and they come right back into your ears, and those words will produce exactly what you're saying. And as proof, Osteen invokes the Bible. Says Osteen, the scripture tells us that we are to call the things that are not as though they were already in place, or as though they already were. Well, the problem here is he has taken a text and he has distorted the text. He's quoting from Romans 4:17, and as he must surely know, that text says nothing of the sort. Well, it does say something of the sort. It's just that he's put a spin on it. And the spin is that we are to call those things that are not as though they already were. But what does the Bible say? It says it is God who calls those things that are not as though they already were. All of that ought to be a warning. A warning that we are, within the church, buying into a form of New Thought metaphysics carefully packaged for Christian consumption. Now, the atheist world looks at this, the materialist world looks at this, and says, see how easily led Christians are, how gullible they are. But this is a caricature of Christianity. It's not the real thing. So in sum, what I'm saying is this. Yes, we face a threat from illiberal liberalism. Just think about the transgender movement. Now, sex no longer tied to biology. Or think about gender fluidity. There are 57 or more varieties now. Or think about same-sex marriage. All of this is a threat to the historic Christian faith, to Western civilization. And then we have the demographic issue of millions and millions of self-aborting Europeans, meaning that through the social structure now in vogue, the death rate exceeds the birth rate, and filling the vacuum, as vacuums are always filled, are millions and millions of polygamous Muslims. And yet you wonder somehow or other, how in the world could Islam be in bed with illiberal liberalism, or vice versa? Doesn't seem to make much sense. But it does when you come to think about the reality that right now, as I speak, Christianity is seen as the obstacle that has for too long been dominant within Western culture, and it must be unseated. So now you have, as I said, strange bedfellows. And in the midst of this milieu, a crumbling church, and me talking to you on the Bible Answer Man broadcast today saying, if you will be salt and light, you can exercise the power of one and make a difference. And if you think the power of one is not significant, think Martin Luther. Or think about Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Or in a negative sense, think about Stalin or Mao or Pol Pot. We can make a difference, but it is not because words create reality. It is because we are called by God, who does create reality, to be empowered by the Spirit and to go out and make a difference while there's yet time. Let's go to the phone lines. First up, Daniel, Brooklyn, New York, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. A little rainy out here in New York, getting cold, so I think I got to prepare for some snow. But all kidding aside, I want to talk about what's going on right now with Joel Osteen and the criticism coming his way in the wake of the hurricane. And the criticism basically stands how he has this big mega church, and there's been some conflicting reports about whether or not the facility was flooded or whether or not the parking lot or outside of the area was flooded. And basically, you know, he's receiving criticism because he has a church, he takes in lots of money, and pardon me. Let me just step out of my car because my 2-year-old.
Well, I get the picture. I get the picture. Let me just say this in all fairness to Joel Osteen. I mean, criticism where criticism is deserved. I read about this in the paper this morning at about 5:30 this morning, and he was saying that we are prepared to shelter people once the cities and county shelters reach capacity. So when they reach capacity, he said he was willing to help. So in all fairness to him, they did say that they were willing to help. And I would imagine those shelters have reached capacity. So perhaps he is, even now as we speak, helping people. So again, I would criticize him on bad theology, but I'm not going to criticize him unfairly. Again, as he has said, or the church has put out a statement in this regard, to the effect that we are prepared to shelter people once the cities and the county shelters have reached their breaking point or their capacity. So he is willing to help. And I think that ought to be noted. We are going to be up against a station break in just about 57 seconds. So let me just simply add to what I said before, that we are asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. When you do, all this month, which is running out of days very rapidly, a practical guide to culture helping the next generation navigate today's world, as well as America at the crossroads, explosive trends shaping America's future and what you can do about it, the book by George Barna. Either one of those books available for those who support the ministry all this month. We're in the midst of a clash of civilizations. A practical guide to culture is an incredibly important resource. Check it out on the web at equip.org or simply talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
In an environment that is increasingly hostile to Christianity, it is of critical importance that we equip ourselves and those we love with a foundational understanding of the uniquely modern issues of our time and how to address them from a sound Christian perspective. That's why this month the Christian Research Institute is offering the strategic resource, A Practical Guide to Culture, helping the next generation navigate today's world. To receive a copy of the book as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Waves aren't subtle. When you get hit by one, you know it. But beneath the surface, there are powerful currents that are not as easily detectable. Sometimes we're completely unaware of them until it's too late. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture understand the cultural waves and currents of today. Waves are obvious issues pounding away at the Christian worldview, such as gender fluidity, casual sex, and pornography. Subtle undercurrents are issues such as the information age, identity, and perpetual adolescence. Being aware of these issues and how to address them is vitally important. Receive your copy of A Practical Guide to Culture as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Thank you.
C.S. Lewis said that the most dangerous ideas in a society are not the ones that are being argued, but the ones that are assumed. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture, Helping the Next Generation Navigate Today's World, understand the issues facing society today and have clearly outlined them to show Christians what's at stake and why we need to be change agents to impact the culture for Christ. To receive your copy of the book, A Practical Guide to Culture, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and a note from a CRI supporter named Cynthia, who writes, Hank was great today. She's talking about me speaking at South Valley Community Church in Gilroy. Wish I could have stayed longer, but I had my 19-year-old with me who has severe autism. He did great, but after 2.5 hours in the car and 1.5 hours at church, he was ready to go. Don't blame him. If I had been alone, I would have been to the later service, too. I hope to get one of Hank's new books, Peace and Blessings. And then parentheses, I was the first person who asked the question at the 9 a.m. service. All of that is a reminder that I had an opportunity to, by God's grace, minister in Gilroy, the garlic capital of the world. Wonderful smell when you get there. I spoke in 3 services at 2 different campuses, and God gave me the strength to do that, and I am so grateful for that. I met so many wonderful people during that time, but I am more impressed with Cynthia than anything else. She said I was great. She was great. She drove almost 3 hours to get to the event, and there are many people that did that, so thank you. It was great to see those that stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Francisco next in Oakland, California, listening on KSIV. Hi, Francisco.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, I had a question in regards to the holidays that we have today. Christmas, Easter, but particularly I want to you know, hit on the subject of Christmas. Now, as a Christian, I've done a lot of research because I've always asked questions in regards to this holiday. Like, why do we hang up a Christmas tree? Why do we, like, do all these things when I haven't really seen anywhere in the Bible where, you know, where we've been instructed to celebrate this holiday. Now, from doing my research, I have found that this is a pagan, it's always been a pagan day. Now, I just want to, I just want your take on this, because I've heard many people speculate and speak on this subject, so I just want to know what you would have to say about this subject.
Sure. Yeah, I would say if you can't celebrate the birth of Christ, pray tell, what can you celebrate? Now, obviously, you're right in part. Early on, Christmas was the celebration, or December 25th, I ought to say, was the celebration of a Greco-Roman god. And what Christians did was not take part in that celebration, but they established a rival celebration. So they were saying that Roman Caesars are not gods. Christ is God. And so what the church did, and again in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, is they set up a rival celebration pointing to the real reason that we have hope as human beings. So this is not about celebrating the birthday of a pagan god. It is about celebrating the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And again, if you cannot celebrate that, pray tell, what can you celebrate? In terms of the things that you mentioned in the prologue to your question, like Christmas trees, look, there are symbols that take place throughout history that have meaning to them. God using earthly perceptible realities to point to spiritual verities. And Christmas trees are one of them. They evolved from two different things in Christmas Christian Germany many years ago. But the idea is the evergreen, and it is a way of pointing to everlasting life. So it can become a way of witnessing. So yeah, I mean, it's true that Christmas has become a largely pagan holiday again, but we do not have to curse the darkness as much as build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Vito listening in Linwood, Washington, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Vito.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you.
Hey, I've been praying for you. I listen to you every day, and I think you're a really amazing person and very knowledgeable. And you've pointed out a few times on your show that if you have some things to check out, that I should check even you out. And so here I'm doing it today.
Good.
I hope you don't mind.
Not at all.
So, yeah, I know that you've had this disagreement with Joel Osteen, and I'm not saying anything great about Joel Osteen. I do pay attention to what he has to say. I'm a little concerned about what he was doing in his church, but I don't want to get into that today. And what I'd like to talk to you about is I was facing some real consequences about 4 years ago, and I had to really turn my life to God. And I believe in every word in the Bible is true. And I learned the prayer of have faith in God, Mark 11:22, all the way down to about 25. And I memorized it and said it every single day. And my blessings came true. And I'm just saying that I know that you say that it's dangerous to think that if you say something into the atmosphere or whatever, that it, I believe that if you pray to God every day for the same thing, as hard as I did, that your blessings can come true. I'm not saying it comes true every time, but what do you think about that?
Well, I think you've contextualized it well. It is true that I pray fervently for things. For example, I pray fervently that God will completely heal me of mantle cell lymphoma. And I pray for that every single day. In fact, in my mind as I pray, I see the healing virtue from the robe of Christ flowing into my body. But yet in that prayer, I always pray, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Perhaps God has a greater plan. Perhaps God wants to be glorified in my suffering. Perhaps God is still pruning me and not ready to heal me. Perhaps God has a plan that I can't even articulate on the radio or elsewhere because his ways are higher than my ways. My point is simply to say that the way you contextualized it was brilliant. Because if you look at the passage that you memorized, and quite appropriately so, it starts out with the words, have faith in God. So if you have faith in God, then your faith is well placed. But if you have faith in your own faith, if the idea is faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, through the force of faith you can create your own reality, that is misguided faith. And as I said at the top of the show, this is little more than a repackaging of New Thought metaphysics for Christian consumption. So words do not create reality. And there is a dark underbelly, and both Rhonda Byrne and Joel Osteen and many other faith teachers, Joyce Meyer, you go down the list, they will admit to that dark underbelly, which is that if you're thinking thoughts of fear, well, then the bad things that happen in your life are a result of those thoughts as well. Because, again, faith is a force, words are the containers of force. Through the force of faith, you create your own reality. Now you start thinking, wow, my baby died. Maybe I inadvertently used a word of fear as opposed to a word of faith. Or as I mentioned again at the opening of the show, maybe 6 million Jews brought the Holocaust upon themselves. Or the tragedy in Houston is a matter of millions of people having a negative word instead of a positive word. So the idea here, I think, again, contextualized by you, is correct. It is true. If you have faith in God, anything is possible because God can do anything, at least anything that's logically possible. God can't do anything. He can't make a squared circle. So I applaud you for correctly communicating the text and not missing part of the text, because usually when people quote from Mark chapter 11, I think that's where you're quoting from, usually when people quote that chapter, they miss that first phrase, have faith in God. You did not. Good for you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hanegraaff. And that makes total sense the way you just explained it. It makes me feel a lot better that we are on the same page on this. And I really appreciate your ministry, and I want to thank you for your answer.
You got it, Vito. Nice talking to you. Patrick, El Paso, Texas. You're up next. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, Hank?
And doing good, Patrick.
Hey, Hank. I know you probably have a lot of callers. I'm just trying to get to the point, man.
Sure.
This catastrophic event down on the Gulf Coast, some of the things that have happened as a result of it are actually the catastrophic event was totally unforeseen by me, because what I want to make a point to is how, you know, the media will tell us how we are absolutely at each other's throat, how the left and the right just hate each other, how black and white just hate each other, how we're in a big problem in our country. And what's so amazing, and like I say, it's so unforeseen, how that catastrophic event displays the hearts of human beings towards each other. And we're talking about, that metro area has 6 million people. Black is helping white. White is helping brown. Brown is helping black. And the true spirit of humanity is coming out. And it's amazing. And I'd just like for you to kind of shed light on that. And Hank, you have a great day, and thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Patrick. And I don't know that I can shed more light than you just did. You said it brilliantly. When there is a common calamity or persecution, we are so often backed into the same castle, to use a Tolkien illustration. And when we're in that same castle together, we eat common meals, we make common plans, we fight side by side against the destroyer, in this case, the flood. And old controversies, old wounds, pale by comparison, and charity ends up prevailing. And I, again, think that you said it as eloquently as it could be said, because you're there, you're experiencing it. And I think this is one of the great things that will happen within the body of Christ as a liberalism presses upon it, and as encroaching or illicit Islam attacks from without, Christians are going to be brought together. We're either going to hang together or we're going to hang separately. So again, great way of stating it, Patrick. We'll be right back with the quote of the day and more answers.
There's no doubt about it. The world is changing at a pace unprecedented in human history. In the midst of our busy lives, it can be difficult for Christians to find the time to outline what's really at stake and how to handle these uniquely modern issues. We get it, we're busy too. Yet understanding these issues is too important to overlook. And that's why this month, the Christian Research Institute is offering the strategic book, A Practical Guide to Culture, Helping the Next Generation Navigate Today's World. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
endless predictions about end time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Waves aren't subtle. When you get hit by one, you know it. But beneath the surface, there are powerful currents that are not as easily detectable. Sometimes we're completely unaware of them until it's too late. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture understand the cultural waves and currents of today. Waves are obvious issues pounding away at the Christian worldview, such as gender fluidity, casual sex, and pornography. Subtle undercurrents are issues such as the information age, identity, and perpetual adolescence. Being aware of these issues and how to address them is vitally important. Receive your copy of A Practical Guide to Culture as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Waves aren't subtle, but beneath the surface, there are powerful currents that are not as easily detectable. Sometimes we're completely unaware of them until it's too late. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture understand the cultural waves and currents of today. Waves are obvious issues pounding away at the Christian worldview, such as gender fluidity, casual sex, and pornography. Subtle undercurrents are issues such as the information age, identity, and perpetual adolescence. Being aware of these issues and how to address them is vitally important, which is why we want to put into your hands A Practical Guide to Culture. To receive your copy of the book as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day, it comes from one of my favorite authors, the Apostle John. Of course, he wrote the five books of John, just as Moses wrote five books called the Pentateuch. And I thought this would be the quote of the day, kind of decided late on during the broadcast actually to make this the quote of the day, because it is very appropriate to what we've been talking about during the show. The show seems to have a theme, and the quote of the day underscores the theme. John says in 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. I love this quote, particularly in accordance or according to his will. We don't want those things that are not in accordance with his will. If we got everything we asked for, we'd be in deep trouble. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Brandon, Midland, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Brandon. Hello, Brandon.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, my question was, you know, sorry to get off topic, but it, I guess it's really not. It talks about Jonah in chapter 2. You know, as kids, we all heard the story where he gets swallowed by the large fish. You know, he wasn't going to Nineveh and warning them if they didn't repent and change their ways. So he runs, jumps out the boat, gets swallowed by the fish, and then goes to Nineveh. But one thing that I guess you just don't hear in the church a lot is in chapter 2, where, you know, he goes to the land of the dead, maybe Sheol, and the depths of the earth, and he was swallowed by the mountains, and just the gates shut forever. In Bible study, we kind of took it as he maybe had passed away for these 3 days. What's your take on it?
No, that's not what it means, and I think this is part of what I talk about on the broadcast over and over again, the art and science of biblical interpretation, which is a science in that rules apply. An art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. But the idea being communicated at the beginning of chapter 2 is the fear of death that grips Jonah, not the idea that Jonah actually died or went to the abode of the dead. Sheol is rightly, I mean, if you think about it denotatively, is the abode of the dead. But as I've said many times, words and phrases are not univocal, they are equivocal. The whole point of the fish is he saved Jonah from dying, and Jonah continued on the mission that God had given him, although reluctantly, because he didn't want to preach repentance. So again, we want to make sure, and I had a conversation with my kids last night when I flew in from California. We had a conversation of this very thing. You have to understand figures of speech. You have to understand metaphor. You have to understand anthropomorphisms. God speaking in the way that anthropomorphs can understand or human beings can understand. But no, this does not mean Jonah died. There's no indication he did. He was saved from death by a miracle.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know if, you know, maybe he used that death to show him to change his ways, or he might, you know, that could happen. Just because I've had a similar experience where I was given a second chance, you know, and so maybe that this story just spoke to me a little more because of that. But, yeah, thanks for the clarification.
Well, you're welcome, and I'm glad that God gave you another opportunity to serve him, and it's so great to make your acquaintance on the radio.
Yes, sir. Thank you for everything you do, and y'all have a great evening.
Thanks, Brandon. Danny next, listening in Iowa, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Danny.
Hi there. I just had a comment, really, about an earlier question.
Sure.
Regarding praying good things into our lives versus the preaching that Joel Osteen and others of that sort do. And it just occurred to me as, you know, you think about it, it really shifts the power when we think if we pray good things, we receive good things. It shifts the power more to us than it does leaving the power where it belongs with God. And the scripture that you just read earlier from the book of, I believe it was 1 John?
Yes.
3 John, I'm sorry.
First.
Driving and listening. But it talks about asking whatever we will in His will, asking for whatever we want in His will. And that goes back to where the power belongs with God versus if I pray for good things, I'll receive them. That puts the power in my possession, incorrectly, I believe.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you called. It's absolutely true what you said, and again, well stated. It's precisely the problem that you put your finger on. The Word of Faith movement puts your faith in your own faith as opposed to putting your faith in God, and that's a prostitution of faith. Biblically, faith is a channel of living trust between a human being and their God, and therefore, faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. So if you place your faith in your own faith, it's misplaced faith. If you place your faith in God, your faith is always safe because God has loved us with an everlasting love. And so we put our faith and trust in Him. In fact, I would tell you, before I came into the studio, I do what I do every single time before I come to the studio, I spend time praying. And part of my prayer, and it is without fail every single time, I can say that I think with complete certainty, part of my prayer is always, Lord, I put my trust in You alone, not in the arm of flesh, but I put my trust in You alone. I trust You. And I think that's the issue. I think the very reason that Joel Osteen takes Romans 4:17 and bends it or twists it is because that's precisely what Romans 4:17 says, God calls those things that are not as though they were. So what He does, therefore, is He has to twist that and now make it we call those things that are not as though they were. And therein lies the problem.
Right. I agree wholeheartedly. It helps us when bad things happen, as they do. Just like with Job, bad things happened despite the fact that Job was a righteous man. So bad things happen to us, whether or not we claim them as bad things that are going to happen, as Joel Osteen would have us believe, or as you said, someone who might have an ill child would think, what have I done that would cause the ill child? Or in the Holocaust, what did the Jews do that caused that? Sometimes it happens just so that, I mean, every time it happens, so God is glorified, right? Not just sometimes. Every time something happens to us, it's to bring Him glory, and it's just a matter of us finding His will and His way, and as you said, praying so that we know what His will is and knowing what we need to do to bring Him the glory, because if we trust on our words and our actions, we're going to lose every time. You're right in saying it's a misplaced faith.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry.
No. Believe me, I think what you have said is so helpful to our listeners. I could listen to you for a long time because I think this is what C.S. Lewis was saying when he was saying that pain is God's megaphone to a deaf world. So God meets us in our pleasure, but He really meets us in our pain. Or I think of Charles Haddon Spurgeon talking about the fact that he almost wished for the melting pot because it is in the melting pot that the dross is drained out, that we are purified, that we become more like unto our Lord. So pain and difficult circumstances have a way of reorienting our priorities. I know in my own life, my cancer has been wonderful in many ways, wonderful in having the opportunity to minister to people that I wouldn't be able to minister to otherwise, or connect with people I wouldn't be able to connect with otherwise. But there's also the attendant benefit that in cancer, you become so dependent on the Lord, and you start to realize that while sometimes we have our feet too firmly planted in the city of man, we need to change that orientation and replant our feet in the city of God. And so, as I've said on the broadcast many times, this is one of those ways in which God helps you order your life around the divine or sets your priorities straight. So you can thank God for even those times of difficulty, because God uses them to mold us, to make us according to His will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And very well said. Thank you very much.
Danny, thank you so much for your contribution. You know, I'll tell you, sometimes I'm so fortunate to be able to listen to our listeners because the comments are meaningful, and we've experienced that a number of times today and certainly experienced that with Danny. I want to mention that we not only do the broadcast, the Bible Answer Man broadcast today, but we also do the podcast, Hank Unplugged. And this week, I'm joined on Hank Unplugged by Clay Jones. He's an associate professor of Christian apologetics at Biola University, one of the preeminent scholars in the issue of theodicy, answering why God permits evil. And this conversation is an exploration into why God allows sin and suffering. We get into why God allows evil, why God let a particular child die, why it's hard to reconcile determinism and theodicy, why do people want determinism to be true, how God uses suffering, and much, much more. Again, available tomorrow. You'll find it at equip.org or wherever you consume your favorite podcasts. Of course, as always, I'm deeply grateful for those who stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. Without you, we simply could not do what we do. So many people that I meet in this weekend in California, I met so many people that came to faith in Christ as a result of this broadcast or this ministry in one way or another. It's always humbling. But I recognize that it's not just the team at CRI that makes the difference. It is those who are standing with us as team members, maybe not working for us, but working with us. Again, standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back with more answers to your questions right here tomorrow. So look forward to that.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. And that's why this month, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the strategic resource, A Practical Guide to Culture, Helping the New Generation Navigate Today's World. To receive a copy of this vital book as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in prophetic stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Waves aren't subtle. When you get hit by one, you know it. But beneath the surface, there are powerful currents that are not as easily detectable. Sometimes we're completely unaware of them until it's too late. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture understand the cultural waves and currents of today. Waves are obvious issues pounding away at the Christian worldview, such as gender fluidity, casual sex, and pornography. Subtle undercurrents are issues such as the information age, identity, and perpetual adolescence. Being aware of these issues and how to address them is vitally important. Receive your copy of A Practical Guide to Culture as our appreciation for your financial partnership.
Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.